Welcome to Chromecast, Tech It Out. Hosted by ServiceCentric, people first, UK technology consultancy, Chrome Technologies.
Welcome to Chromecast, Tech It Out. I'm Sam Major, Commercial Director for Chrome Technologies, and joined once again by Rupert Mills, my business partner, Managing Director, CTO, and General Dog's Body.
Morning, Sam.
Topic for today, I think quite an interesting one, is something we're certainly seeing a lot of, not just in our industry, but across all verticals, is M&A, mergers and acquisitions.
Yep.
And we're seeing a lot, obviously, huge amount of consolidation in our vertical, with a lot of big distributors consolidating and vendors, et cetera, et cetera. But also we're seeing it in our customer base. Mm. More and more we're being involved in that kind of the DD, the due diligence part, of assisting people in that M&A journey. And obviously something I know you've done an awful lot of work with, not just recently, but throughout the years, but as it has accelerated, it's been, I know it's taken up a lot of your time recently.
Yeah, absolutely. There's kind of a land grab going on in our industry in particular at the moment, people sort of consolidating things together. There's lots of people out there buying up small products here and there and turning them into one big product, which is happening a lot. Lots of people out there buying up four or five of our competitors and turning them into one company, which has its challenges, I'm sure. But then there's, the industry at the moment with where, especially since the sort of the advent of Brexit and with the dollar rates being where they are against sterling and all the rest of it at the moment, it's making buying things in this country very attractive for people. So,
Yeah, absolutely. I'm certainly seeing a lot of it. And you mentioned it's kind of two things. There's the smaller guys being eaten up by the bigger guys, and then some of the bigger guys doing the big acquisitions.
Yeah, absolutely.
Two very different sets of challenges, and I guess lots of different considerations when we're assisting people doing both of those.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, a few years ago, you've got Dell buying EMC. I mean, that was absolutely monumental, but I haven't seen one that big for a while, but certainly, as you say, the top end of that market. But we've got it going on with clients. So we've got a number of customers who are acquisitive, so to speak, but also somewhere, for example, dispersals and things like that. So they're actually taking part of a business and saying, let's separate this piece out and sell it off as a separate entity or whatever. So, and you've always got massive IT transition going on in those scenarios. So you've got systems being needing to be merged. You've got two companies with two different sets of policies needing to work together for a period of time. Or you've got, how do we take this data out of this system that it's been in for the past 20 years?
And so that legacy problem of, we've got that box over there that no one's thought to touch for 20 odd years because they're scared to death about what we do with it. And then how do you then integrate that into the kind of new co, if you're going to do that full integration?
Yeah, I mean, that can be all sorts of things. Two examples which I've worked on relatively recently. One was, okay, we're doing the due diligence on a company that one of our customers was going to buy, and in the corner over there, there's a SCO Unix server that no one's turned off for 20 years because no one knows anything about it. Please don't touch it. Like, okay, how do we make sure that's going to keep ticking once the company changes hands and everything carries on working? That's one end example of it. And the other was a large financial institution getting separated into two institutions. Mm. And they were looking at the basically historic SAP data and what do they do with some of that data, and the costs of duplicating it and running two SAP systems were astronomical. All they needed was the historics of it. So again, that's where people like our StoreOc team can come in and help. So there's different elements to the whole thing, but it's a massive set of moving pieces. So we get involved in a lot of either the pre-acquisition due diligence or pre-disposal due diligence, or it could be actually during that transfer services agreement phase. So sort of the purchase happens and then you've got this period in the middle where two companies have got to work together trying to achieve a common goal.
That's the tricky bit a lot of times. Right? So you've got that kind of an acquisition's happened, we've got a date where new co is taking over, let's say, but you kind of have to run in parallel because often doesn't lend itself to just... Depending on the type of company, I guess if you're buying it lock, stock and barrel, you own the whole thing, you can manage the systems as is. But if you're, as we've seen with certain customers of ours, they're buying, let's call it a slice of a company, you have to work out how you cut out that bit of Oracle or that bit of SAP or whatever it might be and manage it through that transitional period and cost effectively and compliantly.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's it. We've seen one of our larger customers who's gone around and bought up lots of very small businesses. Now, to integrate those with a very large corporate that they are, to then turn around and say, okay, we want to put that corporate policy, so we've done interim support for those small businesses as they've acquired them and looked after them in that handover phase and helped them transition onto the corporate IT model and then pass them into the large corporate. We've done that. That's one way of doing it. As you say, if someone's acquiring a business completely, we've got another customer who tends to buy up businesses internationally that fit their model because they're expanding their international footprint. Mm. They didn't tend to buy the entire business, so it's then okay doing the due diligence on what they're buying and how's that going to fit in with the corporate model in the long run. But it's a bit bigger than that, just buying up lots of small businesses. And then the other way is buying a piece of a very large company, at which point you've got two very large companies trying to play together, and often we sort of help in the middle to do the transition. So there's all sorts of different factors at play. You've got software licensing, you've got hardware, you've got security. Security is a really big one.
Yep.
All of those things that you've got to take into consideration. And every different software vendor has a different method of how do you transfer the license. Is the license even transferable? And all of those different pieces that you've got to tie together, they need to be fairly tightly managed projects. So yeah, we do get involved in a lot of them.
That's a huge amount of due diligence. A lot of heavy lifting, I guess, up front. And I know that's certainly a lot of the work you do with our customers.
Yep.
Is actually the planning before you get into that kind of transformational stage. Because if we don't know everything before we get into trying to do or undertake that transformational journey, that's fraught with danger.
Yeah. I think you have to accept you're never going to know everything, but it's trying to get as much as possible uncovered and on the table, and also make sure that you get a good working relationship with both sides so you can actually resolve the problem. Yeah. Because you've got that day one when completion happens and a deal is done, that there's always challenges on day one, and it's making sure you can put some sort of hypercare support in place to help around that. And then moving forward to sort of the end of the TSA, if that's in place, how you deal with that as well to make sure that everything is tested thoroughly before you get there. Things like I was talking to you earlier about things like software licensing, with all the new CSP models from Microsoft and cloud services from Azure, AWS, that sort of stuff. You no longer have to say, well, let's take an estimate at how much we've got to buy of everything at this point, and then we run the business and find we didn't need all of that spend and we overspent massively. You can buy things on a monthly subscription now. So you can say, actually, let's turn this all on. We can change it at the drop of a hat. Literally, more licenses can be added almost instantaneously.
Burst more into the cloud, more compute, etc.
Yeah, and then allow you to right-size that environment throughout the transfer services agreement to do whatever you need to do correctly and lock into long-term contracts at the end of that. So that's kind of a new model with the new services available in the market that's coming about. But it's doing all of those different things as a massively moving puzzle moves around.
It's very true. I was thinking, do we, I guess it's in your opinion, this, I guess, the way we now consume IT, the fact that we can use things like the cloud, we can burst and so on, is making some of this, the way we transform, the way we transition is easier. Potentially historically where it would have been big bang, you're going to have to put all this infrastructure in, all these new licenses, and hope that that's the right size, the right spend for X amount of time. And actually we can now with subscription services and whatnot, best guess, and then adapt as we need to, and then use that interim time before, I guess, we need to go wholesale into new ownership to size and to plan properly.
Yeah, I mean, we worked with a company a few years back probably half a dozen now, when those sorts of models didn't exist, where we literally were sat outside the business with all of the hardware they needed for day two in a van to get a load of systems up and running, waiting to go in and implement that at the point the ownership changed. And the night before, something fell out commercially in the deal and the whole thing was off. And okay, so what do you do with all this equipment you've got now?
Yeah.
So that was a challenge. But these days, things like that are moving away, which is really, really good. It's certainly making a difference to how things can be done. As you say, the sort of on-demand model is helping things like that be a much smoother transition. Doesn't really solve the, okay, what are we doing with all the historic data stuff?
Of course.
Because you've still got that data footprint. But that's something we're very familiar with from working with the StoreArc team.
I was about to say, you've got obviously the compliance angle, you've got even though you own the company, you're then responsible for the retention of that data for whatever it might be, 7, 15, to life, all that sort of
GDPR
stuff.
GDPR regulations, all of that sort of stuff
that's
around now that wasn't a few years ago.
Exactly, so you inherit all of that, so it's having the right tool set and employing the right knowledge to consult with these people to make sure that during that period that that's all taken care of, because as we know, getting that wrong can be very costly as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a bit like a much more complex version of an office move because changing all the systems at that same time, it's fun.
So there's obviously huge amounts of considerations, and we've talked, I guess, at quite a high level on some of this. I think it'd probably be good if we could... Obviously, we can't name names of people we've worked with, but the process kind of doesn't really change. We have to do an awful lot of investigative work and auditory work and deep diving to make sure we get it right, helping people mitigate risk. Mm-hmm. We're working with people that, whilst we've done this a number of times, we're often working with teams that have never done it before and offering that guidance. So I think it'd be useful for our audience. Like I say, we're not naming names, but just our process kind of doesn't change. If you could talk through almost kind of day one to how do we get to ensuring that we have a successful transition into NewCo and I guess that journey in between.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of different things we need to do. So there's upfront assessment. What's there? What's the existing landscape look like? So we can use auditing tools. There's various different software asset management tools we use to put in place. There's things like Dell's Live Optics tool that we can use to go and audit hardware infrastructure. We can put various things in place to look at firewalls, sort those out, and look at what security rules are in place. All of that sort of stuff can be done as an audit. And then there's a big phase of sort of meetings in the middle where you sit down and look at what does the existing company have and what does the new company need? Mm-hmm. And you kind of do a mapping of one to the other and say, right, we don't need that, we don't need that, we don't need that, we do need this. Then once you've isolated the things you do need, you can work forwards with how do we look at the vendors that are in play there, mm-hmm. and then make sure, is that transferable? Is it not transferable? Is that asset staying with the old business? Yeah. Do we need to replace it? Or is that asset being transferred to the new business and we're going to own it?
Yeah. Does that even work in the, if it's legacy? Yep. Is it transferable into the new world, and how do we take care of that problem?
Yeah, absolutely. Things like warranties. Okay, so you're transferring. It's important when you're buying a business, for example, if you're buying a big hardware landscape, and you know that actually you don't need to replace that for the next 5 years, that's fine. But if you need to replace it next year and you're buying it this year, then actually that's something that goes into the financial considerations. So it's all feeding into the business case for that actual acquisition as well in those scenarios. So using those various tools to right-size everything, then looking at the vendors, just negotiating with some of the vendors. So we've been in situations where a large accountancy or ERP solution vendor might say, no, you can't transfer that. You need to buy it all new and it's going to cost you X number of millions of dollars. You look at that and you say, well, actually, we don't need that component and that component because they were in use in the previous company, but that's for something else that they were doing in another area of their business. It won't be in use in this business. Mm-hmm. So those sorts of things can lead to huge cost savings and again, right-sizing for that implementation. There may be increased costs in some areas. Okay, so that was provided by a shared service over here and that won't be there anymore. So you've got to buy something to do that element. But essentially doing all of those sizing activities is really, really important. And at the end of it, you can come out with, okay, this is what the landscape looks like. Mm. But then it still needs to be an area of contingency in there because there's always guaranteed to be something that pops up and shows its head. We normally end up visiting the site with our customers as well because there's little substitute for actually going and talking to the people who you're involved with and doing a site audit because ultimately those people who are in the business day to day will probably give you a different picture to the picture that comes from the sort of managerial top down, especially if it's a global business. You find that often the people you're talking to managerial top down may not even have been to the country, let alone the office where you're talking about for some time. That happens a lot, and so actually doing a site audit as well as a physical site audit as well as a virtual site audit is useful. It allows you to get a good feel for how well things have been maintained. Mm. I've walked around sites with customers where things have been absolutely dreadful and sites where things have been immaculate, and you can kind of get a good feel for how much work you're going to have to do after day one.
Yep.
by a lot of that, so that helps as well.
Okay. Oh yeah, so the whole thing then is looking at the staff involved as well, because obviously it's not just the business, there's the people element, and in some cases some staff won't be around, others will be retained, and they'll be part of that transformational journey as well. So it's working with those people and it's leveraging their skills or upskilling, transferring of information, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, especially in businesses operating a shared services model, a lot of them will have, okay, that's fine, IT help desk is over here. But you're buying this piece of the company, IT help desk, don't go with that as a good example. Or sometimes it will be, and sometimes you'll be, okay, you're going to take these 57 people, but you don't need 57 people in the IT department over here. Now you need 5.
Yeah.
So it's trying to add all of those elements together. And it's something that is really done with just getting involved, getting deep into the project and working with customers. So it's something, as you say, that myself and a number of the other tech team members will get deep involved on these projects with our customers and become part of the customer's team.
Yeah.
So we effectively operate as the customer and work with them to try and get through to the end game and help them facilitate what they want out of that, either acquisition or disposal or whatever, but try and work with them to get them to a situation where it's successful at the end, as you said earlier.
Of course, yeah. And I guess from our side, just to kind of frame the sort of team we put on that, is obviously, you know, yourself kind of as a technical lead in this, but you'll be working with maybe a program director or a BA and PMs and all this sort of stuff to make sure we've got the right team to pull all this information together.
And the right tech. So, you know, underneath myself on the tech side of the business, we've got various teams. So security teams, you've got infrastructure teams, you've got software teams. Those various different elements, I can give a good level of understanding to most subjects broadly,
yes.
But I'm certainly not the expert in a lot of them these days, and that's where we can pull in our experts. So, okay, I'm working on one at the moment. We were discussing it earlier, and we're going to bring in one of the security guys specifically to talk around the security piece of the project and work out exactly what the right solution is there. Now, I can hypothesize on what the high-level stuff is, or so can Ben, for example, who also works at my level, but actually Ben is a better example than me in terms of security these days. He can get involved in the deep area of that. But we've got lots of other people that we can draw on as resources. So it's being able to pull the right people from our teams because we are a fairly broad operation in terms of the subjects we cover. We can pull on the various people in those areas to say, okay, let's pull that person in to be the subject matter expert here, this one over here. Yeah. Simple things like creating new Office 365 tenants or new Azure tenants, that sort of stuff. We do email migration so often for customers in terms of upgrades. It's very similar in this sort of scenario. Okay, how do we migrate from one environment to another?
Mm-hmm.
That actually our experts on Office 365, for example, are great to pull on and say, how are we going to achieve this for two different businesses rather than an upgrade inside the same business?
Yeah.
A lot of the skills are similar.
Awesome. Lots of interesting stuff, lots to consider. And I'm going to do this often, Dieter, on this podcast. Your top three things to consider or to make sure are right when entering into an M&A activity?
I would suggest looking at levels of access, first of all. You're going to need the access to the data you need from the existing environment. You're going to need access to the people you need from the existing environment. Basically, being able to gather the data you need to make it a success at the end of the day. Subject matter experts to work with you. So we're experts in a number of areas, but for example, we're not in something like an SAP environment or something like that, so you need someone to handle that for you. But the right subject matter experts to work across each area of IT that you're taking on.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, time scale. So for me, it's often, okay, how do we get this done by such and such a date? And you can do things quickly, but actually, if you've got the time to do it properly, it will mean a more successful output at the other end.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, so prepare properly, give yourself the time for it, and I guess define what success is before you crack on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Brilliant. Thank you.
Welcome.
And thank you for joining us on this edition of Chromecast. If there's anything you'd like us to cover in future episodes, do leave that in the comment section below. Remember to like, subscribe and share, and join us again on Chromecast. Check it out.
We hope you have enjoyed this episode. For more information or to speak to Chrome, visit www.chrome.co.uk, spelled K-R-O-M-E. That's chrome.co.uk.